Chapter 21. Within a week, Levi West had pretty well established himself among his old friends and acquaintances, though upon a different footing from that of 9 years before, for this was a very different Levi from that other. Nevertheless, he was nonetheless popular in the barroom of the tavern, and at the country store, where he was always the center of a group of loungers. His 9 years seemed to have been crowded full of the wildest of wild adventures and happenings, as well by land as by sea, and, given an appreciative audience, he would reel off his yarns by the hour, in a reckless, devil-may-care fashion, that set agape even old sea dogs who had sailed the Western Ocean since boyhood. Then he seemed always to have plenty of money, and he loved to spend it at the tavern tap room, with a lavishness that was at once the wonder and admiration of gossips. At that time, as was said, Blueskin was the one engrossing topic of talk, and it added not a little to Levi's prestige when it was found that he had actually often seen that bloody, devilish pirate with his own eyes. A great, heavy, burly fellow, Levi said he was, with a beard as black as a hat, a devil with his sword and pistol afloat, but not so black as he was painted when ashore. He told of many adventures in which Blueskin figured, and was then always listened to with more than usual gaping interest. As for Blueskin, the quiet way in which the pirates conducted themselves at Indian River almost made the Lewis folk forget what he could do when the occasion called. They almost ceased to remember that poor shattered schooner that had crawled with its ghastly dead and groaning wounded into the harbor a couple of weeks since. But if for a while they forgot who or what Blueskin was, it was not for long. One day a bark from Bristol, bound for Cuba and laden with a valuable cargo of cloth stuffs and silks, put into Lewis Harbor to take in water. The captain himself came ashore, and was at the tavern for 2 or 3 hours. It happened that Levi was there, and that the talk was of Blueskin. The English captain, a grizzled old sea dog, listened to Levi's yarns with not a little contempt. He had, he said, sailed in the China Sea and the Indian Ocean too long to be afraid of any hog-eating Yankee pirate such as this Blueskin. A junk full of coolies armed with stink pots was something to speak of, but who ever heard of the likes of Blueskin falling afoul of anything more than a Spanish canoe or a Yankee coaster? Levi grinned. All the same, my hearty, said he, if I was you I'd give Blueskin a wide berth. I hear that he's cleaned the vessel that was careened a while ago, and maybe he'll give you a little trouble if you come too nigh him. To this the Englishman only answered that Blueskin might be, and that the next afternoon, wind and weather permitting, he intended to heave anchor and run out to sea. Levi laughed again. I wish I might be here to see what'll happen, said he, but I'm going up the river tonight to see a gal, and maybe won't be back again for 3 or 4 days. The next afterno on the English bark set sail as the captain promised, and that night Lewistown was awakened till almost morning, gazing at a broad red glare that lighted up the sky away toward the southeast. 2 days afterward a Negro oysterman came up from Indian River with news that the pirates were lying off the inlet, bringing ashore bales of goods from their larger vessel, and piling the same upon the beach under tarpaulins. He said that it was known down at Indian River that Blueskin had fallen afoul of an English bark, had burned her, and had murdered the captain and all but 3 of the crew, who had joined with the pirates. The excitement over this terrible happening had only begun to subside when another occurred to cap it. One afternoon a ship's boat, in which were 5 men and 2 women, came rowing into Lewis Harbor. It was the longboat of the Charleston Packet, bound for New York, and was commanded by the first mate. The packet had been attacked and captured by the pirates about 10 leagues south by east of Cape Henlopen. The pirates had come aboard of them at night, and no resistance had been offered. Perhaps it was that circumstance that saved the lives of all, for no murder or violence had been done. Nevertheless, officers, passengers and crew had been stripped of everything of value and set adrift in the boats, and the ship herself had been burned. The longboat had become separated from the others during the night, and had sighted Henlopen a little after sunrise. It may be here said that Squire Hall made out a report of these two occurrences, and sent it up to Philadelphia by the mate of the packet. But for some reason it was nearly 4 weeks before a sloop of war was sent around from New York. In the meanwhile, the pirates had disposed of the booty stored under the tarpaulins on the beach at Indian River Inlet, shipping some of it away in two small sloops and sending the rest by wagon somewhere up the country. The Book of Pirates,